Chapter 11. "A gun?" I said. "How did a gun get into the city? I never smuggle weapons."
"I've always appreciated that," she said. "You don't have to keep your hands up. You do, however, have to drop that knife."
I did as I was instructed. The knife floated down to the floor. She kept the gun pointed at me.
"May I ask, how did you come to suspect me?"
"Process of elimination," I said. "Rudy proved he wasn't selling me out. You're the only other person with access to my gizmo location info."
"Reasonable," she said. "But I'm not as sinister as you think."
"Uh-huh." I gave her a dubious look. "But you know all about Zapho, right?"
"Yes."
"And you're going to make a shitload of money off of it." She scowled.
"Do you really think so little of me? I won't make a single slug."
"But then, why?" She settled back into her chair and relaxed her grip on the gun.
"You were right about the gravity. Zapho is a crystalline quartz-like structure that only forms at 0.216 Gs. It's impossible to make on Earth, but they can make it here with a centrifuge. You're such an intelligent girl, Jasmine. If only you'd apply yourself."
"If this is turning into a you have so much potential lecture, just shoot me instead, okay?" She smiled. She could be grandmotherly even while holding a gun. Like she'd give me a butterscotch candy before putting a hole in my head.
"Do you know how Artemis makes its money?"
"Tourism."
"No."
I blinked. "What?"
"We don't make enough from tourism. It's a large part of our economy, yes, but not enough."
"But the economy works," I said. "Tourists buy stuff from local companies, companies pay employees, employees buy food and pay rent, and so on. And we're still here, so it must be working, right? What am I missing?"
"Immigration," she said. "When people move to Artemis, they bring their life savings with them. Then they spend it here. As long as our population kept growing, that was fine, but now we've plateaued."
She angled the gun away from me. She still had a good grip on it, but at least she wouldn't kill me by mistake if she sneezed.
"The whole system has become an unintentional Ponzi scheme, and we're just cresting the top of the curve now."
For the first time, my attention was torn away from the gun. "Is this whole city going bankrupt?"
"Yes, if we don't take action," she said. "But Zapho is our savior. The telecom industry will want to upgrade, and Zapho can only be cheaply made here. There'll be a huge production boom. Factories will open, people will move here for jobs, and everyone will prosper." She looked up wistfully. "We'll finally have an export economy."
"Glass," I said. "This has always been about glass, right?"
"Yes, dear," Ngugi said. "Zapho is an amazing material, but like all fiber optics, it's mostly glass. And glass is just silicon and oxygen, both of which are created by aluminum smelting."
She ran her hand along the sheet aluminum desk.
"Interesting how economics works, isn't it? Within a year, aluminum will be a byproduct of the silicon industry, and that aluminum will be handy too. We'll have a lot of construction to handle the growth we're about to have."
"Wow," I said. "You really are all about economics."
"It's what I do, dear. And in the end, it's the only thing that matters. People's happiness, health, safety, and security all rely on it."
"Damn, you're good at this. You created an economy for Kenya, and now you're doing it for us. You're a true hero. I should really be more grateful." "Oh, that's right. You fucking sold me out."
"Oh, please. I knew you weren't stupid enough to turn on your gizmo without taking precautions."
"But you did tell Opalacio where my gizmo was."
"Indirectly."
She set the gun down on the table. Too far away for me to lunge at. She'd grown up in a war zone. I wasn't about to test her reflexes.
"A few days ago, IT reported a hack attempt against the Gizmo network. Someone on Earth was trying to get your location info. I had IT deliberately disable security and let the hacker in. Actually, it was more complicated than that. They downgraded one of their network drivers to one with a known security flaw, so the hacker had to work for it a little. I don't know the details. I'm not a tech person. Anyway, the end result is the hacker installed a program that would report your location if you turned on your gizmo.
Why the hell did you do that?
To draw out the murderer, she pointed to me. As soon as you turned on your gizmo, I alerted Rudy to your presence. I assumed Opalacio would tell their man Alvarez as well. I hoped Rudy would catch him.
I frowned at her. Rudy didn't seem to know anything about it. She sighed.
Rudy and I have a complex relationship. He doesn't approve of syndicates or indirect measures like I had taken. He'd like to be rid of me, and in all honesty, the feeling is mutual. If I'd warned him the killer was coming, he would have asked how I knew. Then he'd look into how the information got out, and that would cause trouble for me.
You put Rudy on a collision course with a murderer and didn't warn him. She cocked her head.
Don't look at me that way. It makes me sad. Rudy is an extremely skilled police officer who knew he was entering a potentially dangerous situation, and he almost caught Alvarez right then. My conscience is clear. If I had to do it over, I'd do the same thing. Big picture, Jasmine.
I folded my arms. You were at Tron's a few nights ago. Have you been in on this from the beginning?
I'm not in on anything, she said. He told me about Zapho and his plans to get into the silicon business. He wanted to talk about Sanchez's oxygen contract. He had reason to believe they were going to be in breach soon and wanted to make sure I knew he had oxygen if that happened.
That didn't make you suspicious?
Of course it did. But the city's future was at stake. A criminal syndicate was about to control the most important resource on the moon. Trond offered me a solution. He'd take over the contract, but with 6-month renewals. If he artificially inflated prices or tried to control too much of the Zapho industry, he'd lose the contract. He'd rely on me to keep renewing, and I'd rely on him to feed the Zapho boom with silicon. There'd be a balance.
So what went wrong? She pursed her lips.
Jin Chu. He came to town with a plan to make as much money as possible. And by God, he succeeded. He'd told Trond about Zapho months earlier. But Trond wanted a sample to have his people examine, proof that Zapho really existed and wasn't just some fairy tale.
So Jin Chu showed him the Zapho and Trond paid him, I said. And then Jin Chu turned right around and sold the information to Opalacio.
That's the thing about secrets. You can sell them over and over again.
Slimy little bastard. She sighed.
Just imagine what a revelation that was for Opalacio. All of a sudden, their insignificant money laundering company was poised to corner an emerging billion-dollar industry. From that point on, they were all in. But Artemis is very far away from Brazil, and they only had one enforcer on site, thank God.
So what happens now?
Right now, I'm sure Opalacio is buying as many tickets to the moon as they can get. Within a month, Artemis will be swarming with their people. They'll own silicon production, and that damned oxygen for power contract will ensure no one can compete. And they already started their next phase, taking over the glass manufacturing industry.
She gave me a knowing look. Oh, fuck, I said. The Queensland glass factory fire. And Googie nodded.
The fire was almost certainly set by Alvarez. Busy little fellow, wasn't he? Once Opalacio sets up their own glass factory, they'll have both production and supply line locked down. And of course, they'll kill anyone who tries to get in their way. That's the breed of capitalism we can expect from now on.
You're the administrator. Do something about it. She looked to the ceiling.
Between their financial base and physical enforcers, they'll own the city. Think Chicago in the 1920s, but 100 times worse. I'll be powerless.
It would be nice if you actually helped in some way.
I have been helping, she said. Rudy had you pegged as a saboteur right away. He showed me the video footage of that ridiculous disguise you wore to the visitor center.
I hung my head.
He wanted to arrest you right then. I told him I wasn't convinced and needed more evidence. I knew that would buy you some time.
Okay, so why did you become my guardian angel?
Because you're Lightning Rod. I knew El Palacio would have at least one enforcer in town. You drew him into the open. Now he's caught. Thank you.
I was bait?
Of course. And you're still bait. That's why I intervened yesterday and got Rudy to release you. I don't know what El Palacio will do next. But whatever it is, they'll do it to you.
You, I said. You're a real bitch. You know that? She nodded.
When I have to be. Building a civilization is ugly, Jasmine. But the alternative is no civilization at all.
I glared at her with pure contempt. She wasn't impressed. So what the hell am I supposed to do now?
No idea, she gestured to the door. But you better get started.
I crawled back into my hiding place and sealed the panel behind me. I curled up into a ball in the dark. I was so goddamn tired I should have fallen asleep right then. But I couldn't. It all caught up with me. Constant danger, poverty, anger, and worst of all, sheer, unmitigated fatigue. I'd gone beyond sleepy into what my father used to call overtired. He usually used that term while chucking my cranky 8-year-old ass into my bunk for a forced nap. I tossed and turned as much as I could in the cramped confines. No position was comfortable. I wanted to pass out and punch someone at the same time. I couldn't think straight. I had to get out of there. I kicked open the panel. Who gives a fuck if someone sees me? I didn't. Where now? I mumbled to myself. I felt a wet droplet hit my arm. I looked to the ceiling. The frigid air of being down 27 often made condensation points. Water's surface tension versus lunar gravity meant a bunch of it had to build up before it started dripping. But I didn't see anything above me. Then I touched my face with my hand. Oh, God damn it. The source of the water was me. I was crying. I needed a place to sleep, really sleep. If I'd been thinking clearly, I would have gotten a hotel. And Googie wouldn't help old Palacio find me again. Right that moment, I didn't trust anything electronic. I considered going to the imam's house where Dad was. The imam would take me in, and at some feral level, I wanted my daddy. I shook my head and admonished myself. Under no circumstances would I tangle Dad up in all this shit. 15 minutes later, I slogged down a corridor to my destination. I rang the door buzzer. It was past 3 in the morning, but I was past politeness. After a minute, Svoboda opened the door. He wore full-body pajamas, because apparently he had just traveled to the moon from 1954. He looked at me through bleary eyes.
Jez?
I need... My throat closed. I almost fell prey to hysterical crying. Get your shit together. I need to sleep. Svoboda... Oh, God, I need to sleep. He opened the door farther.
Come in, come in.
I trudged past him. I'm so tired, Svoboda. I'm just so tired.
Yes, yeah, it's okay.
He rubbed his eyes.
Take the bed. I'll set up some blankets on the floor for myself.
No, no. My eyes had already closed of their own accord. Floor's fine for me. My knees buckled, and I collapsed. The moon is a nice place to pass out. You hit the ground very gently. I felt Svoboda's arms pick me up. Then I felt the bed, still warm from his body. Blankets covered me, and I nuzzled into the cocoon of safety. I fell asleep instantly.